The Old Testament reading for the ninth Sunday after Pentecost comes from Genesis, the ninth chapter. And God said to Noah and his sons, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it." Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the sixth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you justify the ungodly and desire not the death of the sinner. Graciously assist us by your heavenly aid, and evermore shield us with your protection, that no temptation may separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I think we'll just begin by saying that we live in a backwards world. We live in an upside-down world. We live in a world where wrong is called right, and right is called wrong. We live in a world in which damaging and destructive things are often celebrated, whereas those things that are stable and truly creative, these things are treated with contempt and scorn. And as usually is the case, when people are drawn to extreme poles, like up and down, right and left, there is not much neutral ground there. You cannot at the same time be for both how God wants people to live their lives and the various options that the world encourages people to live. And you can't do that because the two contradict each other. God sets bounds, he sets limits, and he does so for his design. He does this for our own safety. He does this for our own benefit. And the world hates boundaries. The world denies divine design. It still wants to claim safety and benefits, even as the statistics prove them wrong. And so, as I said, if people are at poles and there is not much neutral ground, then you have people at either end pointing at each other and saying, no, 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 you are wrong and we are right and you are making a mess of things and you are the ones who are backwards. And this is just the way our world is, right? We live in a sinful, fallen world. We read from Genesis chapter 9 today. This is the chapter immediately after the flood. So Noah and his family get off the ark. They had spent a year inside the ark, because God flooded the world on account of sin. God says that sin cannot and will not go on forever. He puts a stop to it whenever he sees fit. He clearly did so in the previous chapters of Genesis. But the beauty of chapter 9 is that not everything was killed. God spared Noah and his family, 8 souls in all, and he sets them out, as you heard, to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the earth. And so you see here echoes of Genesis 1 and 2. This is, in some fashion, a new beginning for mankind. And furthermore, we see that God makes a promise not to do this again. He is not going to destroy the earth and cut off all flesh by means of a flood. And as a sign, he sets up, he hangs his weapon, he hangs his bow in the heavens to remind him and us of this covenant. Now today you know that the world thinks that the flood is a myth. Instead of seeing it as proof of God's hatred of sin, instead of seeing it as proof of God's salvation through water by his grace and mercy, with the rainbow as his sign, instead the world takes the rainbow for celebrating sin. And it turns around and calls the scriptures make-believe. And then they go around and make up other origin stories for people and animals and creation, and they teach those and they spread those around. And you can see just the complete opposition of those sides, and we might be tempted to think that it's funny if it weren't true. And if it weren't our friends and neighbors, if it weren't our family members and our co-workers who agree with the world much of the time. And it might be funny if it weren't the kind of stuff that were an affront to God, if it weren't a dereliction of our duties as God's creatures to live and teach this way. And you might think of it as a joke, except it's so destructive to bodies and souls. And it truly is destructive to bodies and souls. And we need to be clear about that. We need to be clear that sin going against God's commandments is destructive. It leads to hurt and sorrow in the here and now. It leads to physical death. It also leads to spiritual death. And it will lead to hell if not repented of. These last couple of weeks, Pastor Walther has talked about Elijah the prophet and about him standing up over against sinful culture. Genesis chapter 9 today. Noah is another example of this. And Pastor Walther was talking about Elijah, and obviously the church has us read about Elijah and Noah because they want us to look at them and be inspired. They want us to look at them and see in them examples of who we should be in our own day and age. But we all know ways in which that kind of thing is hard. But it's not hard in this way. It's not hard because we don't know what God says. It's a mystery to us. That is not the way that it's hard. We all have copies of the scriptures. There are our faithful churches preaching and teaching God's word around the world. No, it's hard because we are sinners too. And because we let the world influence us far too much on all sorts of things, on how we think, on how we act, on what's right and what's wrong, on what is important in life. You name it, the world has not only one opinion on it, but multiple opinions, a variety of options. And that's one of the tricks. Letting you choose is one of the ways that the world appeals to you, because we all like to choose. We all like shopping, don't we? And we see this worldly danger in our gospel reading today. We see it with the disciples, with the 12, the ones who walk and talk with Jesus. Mark says that they did not understand about Jesus because they did not understand about the loaves. Now, taken out of context, that is a very odd statement. But in context, it means that it continues off of what we heard last week, which was the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus feeding the crowd with five loaves and two fish. And no one went hungry. There was extra left over. And Pastor Walther mentioned that the miracles Jesus performed were not for him. He didn't do miracles to make his life easier. Rather, the miracles were for us. And furthermore, the point of the miracles is not just that the people had a full belly, or not just that some people got healed of their leprosy. The miracles help show us who Jesus is and what he does. Refusing to see them that way is exactly what leads to the disciples not understanding. And it is why they end up looking out of the boat, seeing Jesus walk on the waves, and they say, "That is a ghost." And they are terrified. The truth is exactly the opposite of that. Unfaith makes the world backwards. Jesus is not a ghost. Jesus is not some being that kind of half exists, floating around out there somewhere to haunt and scare people. Jesus is not a bogeyman. The truth is, Jesus is the most real thing in the gospel. He is the most foundational thing in the world. He is the creator, the upholder of the entire world. Without him, there is no world. And so, to even have the disciples get this wrong, for them to be continually amazed like the miracles, as they clearly were, is to be continually amazed at them as if they were magic tricks, as if Jesus was a magician, as if this is sleight of hand somehow. This leads them to the misunderstanding and the hardness of heart that we see here. It leads to the hardness of heart and rejection of Jesus in our own world still today. Just ask yourself, does the world around us take Jesus to be the most real thing in life? Does it see Jesus as the founder and upholder of existence? And I think an honest answer is no, it doesn't see Jesus that way at all. Instead, they aren't even sure he existed, did he? And if he did, he didn't do the kind of stuff that the Gospels record him doing. And the beauty of our gospel reading from Mark 6 today is not simply the walking on water and the following claim that Jesus is a ghost. Rather, the beauty of this reading is that instead of threatening and scaring them, Jesus calls out, "Take heart, take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And that's exactly the gospel, that in Christ, God is for us. In Christ, we do not have to be afraid of God, but we see Jesus as God's love and mercy to us. Because God sent Jesus, not as a bogeyman, but as the Savior of sinners, because he sent him to be our Savior, to be the one who sets things right, who sets things forwards, not backwards, the one who causes the dead to live again. Jesus came to take on these enemies for us, and in his cross and resurrection, that's exactly what we see him doing. This is what all of the miracles we've been reading about these last couple months, this is what they all point towards, that Jesus is the one who makes bodies and minds and souls whole and well. And he is the only one who does that. It's not more money, it's not more time off or vacation, it's not mindfulness or anything like that. It's Jesus, and only Jesus. And he is the one we must cling to the rest of our lives. His word, no matter what the world says or does, Jesus is the rock to build our lives upon. For only in Jesus do we have the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, but guards and keeps our hearts and minds in the same Christ Jesus forever. Amen.